To America, welcome to the tongue where our loyalty lies only with warrior, and they will scrap only if I give them the order. And you feeling itchy, you got something to say, just know we hop this way. Nobody else is suited for this other than us. I know it's crazy, but we work with it and don't give a welcome to the show. If you don't know the name, we call it Hop This Way.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Hop This Way show. And ladies and gentlemen, what a mind-blowing finale we had for us today. And we've got the rest of the time joining us here as they do to discuss this final episode of season three. And of course, joining us as they do each and every week, you see the crazy one herself. That's right, young Miss Stephanie Young, and she's got a visitor with her. And are you having some issues with your sound there, Steph? Can't hear anything. Neither can Frank, so we lost you just like that on the final episode. It's just Becca and I. Rebecca, how you doing?
I'm fine. I mean, my voice is not very good, but I'm good.
You're good. Well, I'm glad to hear it. And there's Frank back with us. How you doing, Frank?
Hey,
can
guys.
You hear us now?
Good. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear you now? You're a little choppy, though, buddy. A little choppy, but we will get through this. You're on vacation, though. You're coming to us live from Portugal.
Correct. Today. It is 2 in the morning. I was not about to miss this one, though.
Hey!
Two in the morning in Portugal for you.
Oh.
Becca in Brazil. Stephanie, you're in Boston right now?
Yes. Yes, wow. Boston this time.
And I'm representing from Toronto, or from Toronto, from Canada, the Niagara region. Not too far from Toronto, though.
I'm dropping things over
and
here.
We're missing our buddy Matt as well, who's, of course, still sticking to the strike. And we have our support going out for our writers and our actors out there. So we stand with them, but via the strike agreement, we are allowed to, as podcasters, we're allowed to promote and talk about this stuff. So we are happy to be there with you. But folks, let me ask, I'm going to ask the tongue, but I want to ask everybody else at home that's watching live right now. Are you okay? Do you need a hug? And it looks like we're going to keep losing Frank on and off, but remember, he is coming from Portugal. And we don't know how that feed's going to be, but we got some comments saying from Custom for the Kids says, I have to be up at 4 a.m. for work, so I won't be able to listen live. Hopefully I will be able to listen on my drive to work, or if it isn't up yet, on my drive home. I really wish I could listen live.
We
wish you could too, but thank you for the nice words there, and get some sleep, and don't worry, we'll have it up and posted. You'll see.
Yes.
You'll see it or you'll hear it, whatever way you want to do it. Our guy Raghu is in as well, says, what an ending for season three. Still left so many questions unanswered, and it says a season four unanswered, and it says a season four is in need to fill in the blanks to those important storylines for Warrior. I know. I can't wait to get to it. Melanie, how are you?
What's up, Mel?
Hello.
And it's also our buddy, the Bombshell Blurred. What a finale. Top five for sure. Right? Right?
Yes.
It can't end like this. RCR in the house. Let's go, fam.
Let's go. Hello, Robert.
Francisco.
Seriously.
Says, mind blown. And the Bombshell Blurred says, no, she's not all right. She's not okay. Definitely need a hug. Hopefully from Lee Young.
Yes.
Like, I mean, that could happen. I mean,
he's single now.
He doesn't look like he needs a hug these days. I mean, he looks like a lot of people are there to support him and give him some hugs, if you know.
Lee Young is single now.
He's single now.
I know, right?
Is he, though? Is he? They didn't get divorced.
Know.
He just kind of, he stepped. He's like, I'm out. Mm-hmm. I'm out. Steph, you said how much you love the opening of this episode. Let's get to it. What was it about the opening of this episode that stood out to you?
So let's just, go back, and we had, Frank and I had a little, discussion about, Eliza and the whole, you know, not your exotic cultural curiosity, right? And the conversation that Atoy and Mai Ling had about, you know, being their little curiosity. So how things went down, this was absolutely priceless to start with for me, because she put her in her place. She broke it down so perfectly. Like, I swore that I would never be bought or sold. Mm-hmm. And the fear in this woman, like even reaching for the cup, she's jumping. Like, she doesn't know what Mai Ling's gonna do. And Mai Ling was perfectly composed, dead calm in delivering, "You fucked up. You threw me to the wolves. And as a woman, I'm gonna break it down for you what you did." And so that was just absolutely wonderful. And unfortunately, I've had not prostituting myself out there, but I've had shutdowns where I've had to do that with people. So it really hit home for me of, here are the facts, this is what you did, and embarrass the hell out of them. And scare her. And then we saw her burst into tears. She broke it down. Yeah, you're going to treat someone like an object, there are going to be some consequences.
Becca, what did you think of that opening scene when you saw it?
Me? Yeah, we have to think that Eliza didn't know how powerful Mai Ling was, because mm-hmm. she was playing the Chinese businesswoman, but like very kind, like
very soft spoken.
She, Eliza, didn't know she was dangerous, and she was there all dressed like very scary, very powerful. Right. And yes, I would be very, very scary. I would cry and piss on my pants if I was Eliza.
Frank, did you think Mai Ling was gonna off Eliza there?
Oh, I thought that she was gonna either that or have her soldiers do it, but I enjoyed the way she did it even more. Because mm-hmm. she'd think, "Oh, I'm not gonna do anything. You're gonna do it because you've been doing it this whole time."
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it's gonna be all by your hand, and you know that your life is actually nothing, and that you actually don't own anything, and that you're actually trying to do an empty gesture of power. That's not gonna work.
Yeah, Eliza probably wanted to die, although she was scared, afraid. Probably after that, she hoped like Mai Ling killed her and not let her with that truth that she probably didn't put mind of, like trying to not see what's going on at home. And now she has to see, she can unsee mm-hmm. what Mai Ling, and she has to leave with that. That was the perfect vengeance.
Very true.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing, honestly, to watch it all go down, and felt very fulfilling. Yes. I felt, at least, you know, I was like, all right, like you said, like there was something better about her leaving her alive and leaving her with that knife, like, and then, you know, all right, you've got this. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna keep living with this douchebag, or are you gonna take him out? You're gonna take yourself out. Whatever happens, it's out of my hands. You mean less than nothing to me. I'm just here to tell you tried your best, and here the fuck I am. You
know? Mm-hmm. Just the little visuals of, you know, when she placed the knife. And, you know, going from a tense grip, you don't know if she's going to slice her too.
Right.
There you go.
No, because I need a hug. Mm-hmm. Heather says, I'll give Lee Young a hug.
Oh, yes.
RCR says, I love how she left the knife and a choice. Brilliant. E. Jenkins, I think this is the first time we've had E on. Thanks for joining, and thanks for joining through YouTube. Well, we honestly love that so much. E says, I have faith Max will see what the value the show has for society and its subscribers. Let's go. Bring on season 4. Agreed.
Yes. For society. You said it, Jenkins.
Mm-hmm. We got a lot of comments here. The Bombshell Bird says, loved it. The best revenge is taking their peace and putting fear in their heart. like Job did on Banshee, like Job did, sorry, on Banshee. My Ling did one good thing this season. Oh, bringing up Hoon. Oh, it's too early. Oh, it's so early. We'll get to it. Dimples, they must be talking to you, Steph, not me. And Ragu says, now Assam belongs to Notan. And we're going to get to that. Max has been promoting Warrior a lot in Twitter and Facebook. And I think they were kind of backed in a corner just because of when you look at the streaming numbers, it being the number one show worldwide on HBO Max, or on Max, I should say, and then just the fervent amount that we put it out there. And when I say we, I don't just mean us. I mean the fans of this show. We talk about it so often.
Mm-hmm.
Max had no choice but to hop on board. And they're not dumb. They're not going to lose money or just leave money on the table. And think of how cheap this show really is for them to produce compared to a lot of other shows that they put out there, especially coming in South Africa.
And they have made lots of other promotions, like Bruce Lee's birthday. They made a huge event. So the fact that they promoted Warrior there is because, of course, HBO Max allowed it to.
Yeah.
And there was the Giants game when Shannon Lee and Rich Ching came. And he was announced like actor from Warrior. So
they are doing things. With Derek.
Okay. Yes, Derek Chin getting in on that as well. Like, yes. Derek's living the best Warrior life there is, honestly. This episode was so devastating. I agree. Ragu said, I was checking Wikipedia and it has like 100% or something on Rotten Tomatoes. I know that the first three episodes when they dropped, they had 100% rating for almost a week. And that was critics and audiences alike. So, mwah to the writers.
Didn't I see someone comment in the Warrior group that this was without most of their marketing department or something? There's something, someone made a comment, I didn't save it, that, you know, again, there's certain areas that Max wasn't really doing much. If you look at some of the, you know, the little blurbs that come across, you know, it's not like they highlight Warrior really, but what someone made a comment about some of the marketing team or something being let go. I don't remember the exact one.
Yeah,
exactly.
I am not sure, honestly. I haven't seen any of that or thought to pay attention to it, to be honest. All right, so that brought us to our opening splash. Like, what a way to open the show off, right? And then, boom, 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 boom.
It's crazy.
coming out of that, what was our next scene out of that, though?
Strickland, wasn't it?
It wasn't Strickland. And I know what it was. our buddies were back. Bill and was it Sean?
Nick.
Harrison.
Nick. Thank you, Nick.
Nicholas Pauly.
Oh, and God. I'm like, and I love that they're like, oh, he used to be on the force. And Bill's like, oh, yeah, it really was. After checking out Bill's handiwork. And then he's like, well, didn't a bridge just get blown up? Oh, my God. Oh. Where's
Larry?
Let's go find him. Or I'm going to go find him. And then he goes off to him. And then that's when we come upon Nellie Davenport being at Strickland's abode, if you will. I did have that here, but we are so mixed up with everything today, and I do apologize for that. But she shows up, and she's like, yo, man, I'm just going to start playing the game that you played.
Mm-hmm.
And Strickland's like, oh, I know you. You're all bark and no bite. And
do I look afraid?
And she wasn't afraid. And why
he's going and grabbing his sword.
Yeah, why would she be afraid when she knows she's got this badass over her shoulder and happy, what is it, 40th? 41st?
44th.
44th birthday to Olivia Chang, who plays
that a was so satisfying. So satisfying.
It was such a great fight to watch. A toy and Strickland. The only problem that I may kind of have with this whole fight was the fact that she seems to be so much a better swords person than what Mai Ling was, or that I'm sorry. Oh, lie.
Lie.
They don't all look alike. It's...
No, stop it. Don't do that to me. You know I mix everybody's names up. Come on. I don't even know my children's name at this point. But no, that was a lie, though. I know that Atoy is a better swords person than Lai, but I didn't think she was that much above her, because Lai had a hard time with Strickland and ended up losing to Strickland, and Atoy destroyed Strickland. Like, it wasn't even close. So, but aside from that small little qualm, this was great. And I mean, what a good moment. I'm going to start with you, Steph, because I know you got lots to say about this. Go ahead. Well, have at her.
Someone else in the Warrior group made a comment that, you know, she went in with strategic slices. Yes. And that's why she was able to. So it was, you know, strategic slices in certain areas that just kept weakening him and weakening him. But the fierceness is there. We already know it's Atoy. And the look on her face, this just... she was focused. I mean, when is she not? But there was no hesitation. She was all badassery. And then when Nelly kind of said, okay, he's done. No. I mean, she already did that slice, and he's gurgling and he's crawling away. And she's like, no, she's not done. So I really, the second time I watched it, I don't think I've really expected to be that satisfied with hearing all of those sound effects of his gurgling.
The gurgling.
It was that was satisfying. I'm like, yeah. You dirtbag, she got you. And just even when she went in with that, you know, last, you know, slice and churning him up, picturing all of the women he killed.
Yeah. That's Adam Rayner that plays Strickland. And I'm going to be honest, when I heard the gurgling, I immediately, my actor brain went off, and I'm like, oh my God, like, good on him. Like, I don't know if the director told him to do that or if that was something he just like, and I was like, it was visceral. Like it.
Yes.
And I don't know if that was added in post or what, but it sounded great. And
yes.
A really, really good job. A cut above the rest, if you would. I'm not even sorry about that at all. Frank, our resident weapons expert, if you will. What did you think of this fight?
I mean, it's she did kill two people by herself in season two, who were, in her words, big motherfuckers. So mm-hmm. it was a little surprising to see that guy get ended that quickly and easily, and also I was like, you're a railroad tycoon, and you don't keep a. And you went for the sword when Nelly showed up with a shotgun. But other than that, yeah, they had to get it done to even get the rest of the episode going. But
yeah.
That was a little surprising to see it so complete. Like, he didn't even, there was no back and forth like there was with Lai. It was also showing the difference between Atoy and Lai.
Yeah. RCR says, she said it to Lai, you're not ready. Losing Lai made Atoy ready. Yeah, she said, she actually said to Lai, you're not ready, and neither am I. And then I think you're right, RCR. Losing Lai did make her ready. What did you think, Becca?
I think Atoy is the master. She's a master on swords. And Lai is like a project, but she was too young. I remember in first season, I don't know if I'm wrong, but Atoy teaching her something, making her better. So Atoy has to be better. She has to be like the master.
Also, I think emotion.
No surprise.
Emotion. I think that Atoy was able to sort of shut off, you know, the emotions that could maybe make it shaky, and she was just down to business. But my assumption is Strickland got cocky.
Yeah.
He got cocky. So he won, you know, by sword play, you know, with Lai, and he probably just got cocky and stuck with it, but they really didn't give him a chance. You know what I mean? Well, that's his go-to. It's two, it's a woman. He's already just, he killed one. He's like, oh, well, this is going to be a piece of cake.
Yeah, but he thought he was just taking on, didn't think he was, Nelly. He didn't know Otoi was going to be there. What do we got here? Bill O'Hara says, Raghu knows that Otoi is a swordsman that killed Strickland. Yeah, because he and Leary both walked in at the same time and then were somewhat chased off. They didn't really give off too much chase themselves after Nelly shot at them. And she wasn't even aiming for them, honestly. Mel says that Bill's really shined this season, the MVP of the season. Quite possibly.
I know we have suspense, but how they film that of bouncing back and forth between Bill and Leary outside, and you don't know. And then he's like, what the hell is that? And they see the guy on the ground. The way they flipped back and forth was great. It was great suspense. Like, what's going to happen?
And then Larry's like, listen, we have to get rid of this body.
Yes.
Because they're going to think it's me. And he's like, but I'm the chief of police. He's like, it doesn't matter. It's fucking me. Let's get rid of it. And then they go to Bill's former place of employment and give the old cremation to Strickland. And this just kind of changes the trajectory for Leary, honestly, moving forward. As we saw a little later, him showing up at the bar, at not at the Banshee, but the place that Strickland had brought him before.
The Gentleman's Club or the...
Gentleman's Club, yes. And wearing the... Strickland's ring
to rule them all.
I didn't even realize he was wearing it during that last scene, though, honestly, until
he took it off of his body before they got rid of him.
I saw that, but I didn't know he was wearing it when he was talking to the guy at the end there. He was like, we're going to be partners now. He tried the 18 year, and that one just killed me. And folks, listen, if you yourself like to have a little bit of 18 year, or even if you want to have some wine, we got you covered. That's right, folks, we got you covered with the Hop This Way wine koozie. Where can you get it? You can just go to my Shopify and look for the Hop This Way show on myshopify.com. That's right, you can get that and many other things, like a t-shirt, like a mug, and see that nice cheap plug like that? And you can see it underneath the snake there, the Hop This Way shirt.
Miss Wheezy, yes. And in case you guys didn't notice that she's joining us.
Is she burrowing into your hair? Oh, there she is.
Oh, yeah.
There she is.
She just wants to, like, hide.
The Bombshell Blurt says, I think Lai was just too emotional. Otoi told her earlier in the season she wasn't ready yet, and I think she just jumped too soon. Yeah. Otoi gave the window of opportunity to Dylan Leary, not realizing it.
True.
We missed that triple team up, though.
Would have been nice.
By a few steps.
Adam Rayner is also great in Superman and Lois. Oh, that's right. That's where I seen him before. Oh. He's Superman's brother. He's the evil brother. Yeah, yeah. And he's also good on Tyrant, says Francisco. I don't know if I've seen Tyrant.
I don't think I have.
And I think the Bombshell Blurt says, I think he's saying Bill knows Otoi is a swordsman. The ending up framing Zing to be. Oh. Yes, yes. Well, he will now.
I guess Bill never found that out. Yeah, he never found that out.
They were just for anybody, right? They were just throwing anybody under. And he wasn't looking too hard there. I'm just going to kind of go through some of this stuff. It might not quite be in order of the show, but there was just so much that honestly happened in this episode. So one of the next things that did happen was Assam's love, Yamin. She's not doing good. She was in jail, and of course last week Assam made a deal with the Bulls to basically sell out the Hop Way and also the Long Z at the same time and give those plates back.
Mm-hmm.
And so with all that supposed to be happening, we get Assam showing up at the chop shop where Hong is, and he starts down and he's like, listen, this is we got to get out of here. We have to move the plates.
because the Bulls are coming. I don't know who told them, but they're coming, and we need to get out of here.
You lost power? You lose lights?
I don't know.
I'm here.
He's here. But, he just doesn't know where he is.
Or does anyone?
No, none of us. None of us really do.
No. I'm in the hotel, so the hotel lights must have just shot up at a certain time. But I'm here.
All right.
This is how much I love y'all.
Well, we love you for doing this, buddy. We really do. So as Hong and Assam talk at the Chop Shop, and they're like, "Oh yeah, this stuff looks good, but you know what? It's time to go. Let's get out of here." And there's everybody shows up at the raid. Happy Jack's men are there because Chow told them about it. The Bulls are there. And I mean, they go all Reservoir Dogs. If you know, you know. And it's just a big shootout. Even though, like, Assam basically gives the plates, like, in front of everybody. And this would have been kind of a dead giveaway, I would think, but nobody kind of picks up on it, like, because he's just so quick to give them away. But of course, as the police went to pick it up, one of Happy Jack's men decided to, he's getting a little itchy finger there, and then he gets taken out, and it is just a pure six bloodbath. I was happy to see Hong get out of that, because I thought we might lose Hong on something silly, like, not silly, but, you know, in a fracas like that. And I was happy we didn't. But what were you guys thinking in this? Like, more than that, what are your thoughts on Assam in this episode? Because he's not just betraying his Tong. He's betraying the Long Z and his sister. And all of this just for, and I'm not saying just for a woman, but I mean.
See,
his brothers.
What did I say last week? I think, you know, the fact that Chow went ahead and said, oh, it's only going to be a couple of guys and they're moving the plates, when he knew damn well that the police were going to raid. So that's, you know, I think that laid it up for everybody to show up at once. Conveniently, it happened so fast that no one's having a conversation about actually the plates, because everybody's there for the plates. Everybody's there for the plates. So him walking through, it's, you know, it was the perfect cover. The chaos was a perfect cover for Assam.
True. Now, what about you, Frank? Do you think that Assam is what do you think on his loyalty scale, I guess? What are your thoughts on Assam overall right now?
Well, the second half of this season I haven't thought very much of on his loyalty scale, because he rushed him into a fight with a crowd that I don't think they needed to do, mm-hmm. and Father Jun died because of it. He's ready to sell out the brothers who fought and died. Well, Hong and Jun didn't die, but those guys who were saving his life throughout the first two seasons, he was ready to sell them out for someone he met like the last week. Mm-hmm. But this episode it was Young Jun's fuck up. Because jumping ahead a little bit, he was forced to choose. Mm-hmm. But up until this point, I still was not on the side of Assam, because he was ready to cut that deal to try to escape with Yami. But at the same time, he never actually chose to join the Hopway. And he's been a rebel the entire time, which means that he's only really loyal to what he wants and what his goals are. To begin with.
Becca, what do you think? What are your thoughts on Young Jun? Or sorry, on Assam.
I've always say that he's reckless, and mm-hmm. Chow foreseeing that, saying telling him in My Ling's wedding that he had seen many people doing stupid things for chasing love. So mm-hmm. that's exactly what he did. And Chow was like feeling something like that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, what'd you do?
True.
Yeah. All right.
I am so sorry. Let me catch up here, folks. Raghu says, Dylan Leary taking over Douglas Strickland gives the advantage of hiring his Irish countrymen for the railroad expansion and leading to the start of the Chinese Exclusion Act. Exactly. Because
consistent with the person that inspired his character, Dennis Leary, Dennis Kearney.
Yeah,
Dennis Kearney was a businessman who ended up going into politics with the goal of pushing the Chinese out of the labor market and back out of the country.
Melanie says Frank is tripping me out with his camera. When the cops came for Yan Mi, she puts her hands on her belly in a protective way. I wonder if she's pregnant. Oh, I did not catch that.
I had that thought too, Jay.
Mm. Wow, Jay. Mm. We lose Hong, we riot, right? RCR says, what a clusterfuck. Chow really fucked everyone on that info. Yeah, he really did. Because Chow, as much as people love Chow, Chow is everybody's friend, but he's Chow's friend first. Chow always thinks of, like, I think Chow thinks of himself first. And that's nothing against Hoon or anything like that. It's just, that's who Chow is. He's a survivor, you know? Francisco says, didn't you love the lead up with the music overplaying the montage? Hell yeah. The music was off the hook.
Oh.
Rez just kills it always.
Especially
and the editing yes. of this, all episodes was like perfect. The montage of the scenes, the transitions,
oh, yeah.
the songs, everything perfect in the edition.
Jay says, Assam's motive to cross assault was to find his sister. He and his sister are both impulsive. Exactly. And Rag says, Chow is an independent contractor. Yeah, we know, but he still just thinks of himself first. Chow moves the chess pieces. Let's have a dance off. No, we are not doing that. Well, Mel and Frank can. That could be the dance off. Okay, I'm gonna show a picture right now. And I would like to get your immediate response. Can I tell you why I hate Buckley's soon to be wife so much? Because that bitch is making me feel bad for that motherfucker. Oh, what?
I mean, he's actually got mushy.
Don't make me feel bad for Buckley. Don't do it. Like, what is this? Oh, and I knew there was something up with her, but oh.
Yeah.
It makes sense, though, that it would be his right-hand man because he was so horrible to that dude anyways. But, oh, my God.
She was too direct to the point.
Yeah.
She was too easy. He had to see something was wrong.
Did you guys notice, I think it was what, last episode or the one before, what is his name? Okay, so he's Buckley's right hand. When they showed Buckley up there speaking, they showed him off to the side mouthing it. He's his speech writer also.
Oh yeah.
So it's just, well, these are the folks making sure you are where you need to be, where you're positioned where you need to be. But this is like some soap opera. They're messing around on the side. Okay. Get yours.
Exactly what he did to Mayor Blake.
Mm. Mm.
Buckley was doing the same thing that this guy is doing to him. So karma.
Mm-hmm. The way you get it is the way you get out. I've heard that a few times in my life, and I mean, I don't
Penny, want
to remember Buckley.
Penny previewed that? It too. Penny previewed it too when he said when she said before she got locked away, wait till someone starts pulling your strings. And also, I swear I'm not doing this on purpose.
Okay, all I could think about was Cape Town and load shedding.
What's that?
Load shedding. I had no idea what load shedding was. You guys know what load shedding is?
No.
What
is where the power goes off because they're redistributing the power sources, you know, so there's such little, there's so little resources. There's certain parts of Cape Town where, you know, the load shedding schedule is, that's it. You lose power. Everybody loses power.
All the time.
Yep.
I wonder. But it's, but yeah, my first thoughts on that picture was, oh, that explains it. There's no way that she was actually attracted to that dude. But,
right.
I was like, ah, that makes a lot of sense now. Cause I mean, when he won and he was doing his thing with her, it didn't even look like he was enjoying it. He was just kind of like, yeah. But, and the other thought was when I first saw him, when I first saw, the young boy there pop his head out of the covers, I kind of had to look for a second. I was like, is that, cause at first I thought he actually for a second looked like the lawyer from season one, who was defending Assam on the assault charge against those two drunk Irish dudes.
Oh, wow.
That was my first thought. But then I looked closer, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's him. And it's pretty cool because
here we go.
Whenever the show, you okay there?
Oh yeah, she was getting caught in my hair.
She's thinking about the picture. But whenever the show gives any of the minor characters like a bit of an extra glance on the camera, or like they give the camera a little bit of an extra look, there's always a role to play for that person. Mm. Because there were a couple of times during the campaign where Buckley kind of threatens the guy's job, and the guy kind of just goes like, just kind of looks towards the camera, or he just kind of looks around and gives this that extra pause. So, yeah, it's cool that they delivered on that with him also. Now he's going to have a big role to play. He's one of the string pullers. So I do wonder what kind of power this guy actually has also. Or maybe he's just a pretty boy for Archer.
He could just be a pretty boy from Archer. I like that, actually. All right. We got a ton of comments here. Let me just get to these again. You guys are killing it. Thanks again so much for following us here. Melanie says,
yeah.
Face blue smiling. Oh, these are just smiley emojis, I guess. I was going to try to read the emojis. RCR says the flavor saver. That picture. yeah, well, that's why women like a man with a beard. I am so kidding, mostly. Johnny says, hi, guys. Of course, waiting to see as many seasons as we can get. Truly grateful we're all able to witness Bruce's vision come to light with this show and this amazing podcast to discuss. Cheers. Oh, man, that's so nice of you. Thanks so much, Johnny. Lots of love.
Appreciate you.
Love, brother. Jay Unicorn says, I knew that lady was shady as fuck. Tyler says, ha, 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 don't make me feel bad for Buckley. The Bombshell Blurred concurs, right? Buckley is falling in love, and now we got to make him the victim. LOL, but I still hope Buckley gets screwed. I don't care, right? That's the way we got to be about it. Yeah.
Sassy Mrs. Archer,
yeah. Francisco agrees. I know I don't want to feel bad for him. E. Jenkins says, Zeus, that's what a good writer can and will do, make you feel sorry for a character you have previously despised. Hey, yeah, the writing is. Like, we talk about it every week. And, I mean, of course, it starts at the top with JT and works its way down. But JT is just more of the overseer now, right? And you've got this impressive writing crew that comes on, who we included, that are just knocking it out of the park. To me, this may be recency biasy, but I think this is the best season that we've had of Warrior so far.
This episode was written by the producers.
What? I had no idea. I'm looking, but it's giving me the writing credits for. Yeah, Josh Studdard.
Evan Edcott.
Evan Edcott and Danielle DiPaolo. So well done. Well done, mm-hmm. as usual. You guys are knocking out of the park. Jay Unicorn says, I want Penny to come back and take down Buckley, or. What if they join forces? No. Take Buckley down. Yes. Them join forces? I don't know.
She's going to come back to him having spent all her money.
Someone commented in the group that maybe Penny's working together with Archer. I think that's actually the more likely scenario. Still unlikely, but I would be less surprised at that.
True. I like that.
Derek says, late to the party and can't believe there's nothing in the thread about Stephanie Snake. Right? Hey, Derek, how's it going? We already talked about you, though, and about your big day at the ballpark. And, yeah, man, killing it. Keep representing. Jay says, I needed this support group. We're here for you, buddy. We're here for you. And Buckley is a character you love to hate, says Ragu.
Yes.
He is now.
By the way, that guy.
Buckley, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, that guy's dead if Buckley finds out. So.
Right. So speaking of which, so after everything goes down, we see, you know, Assam gets the plates, starts, well, he doesn't have the plates. One of Happy Jack's men gets the plate. They have themselves a bit of a fight. And, of course, Assam comes out on top of that, gets the plates. And Lee finds him. He's like, give me the plates. I thought we had a deal. And they're like, yeah, we got a deal. And it all kind of works out. They exchange the plates. And Assam goes on his way. And we think Assam is out of trouble. But not the case. He gets himself a little blindsided here. And gets knocked out. Yeah. But... it's okay. Hong was there to save him and get him out of there.
Boss. He called him boss.
He called him boss. And he always calls him boss until a little bit after Assam wakes up. Should we get into that?
Oh, my God.
Let's get into that when Assam wakes up and Hong finds him. And he's like, yo, man. You need to talk to Young Jun.
They're mobilizing. Oh, by the way, that's the second time he's taken a concussion-inducing hit from a police baton.
Yeah. Well, that's the way they taught them to do it back in the day, and probably still now. Yeah, so... as Frank didn't like that joke at all. So Assam is talking to Young Jun, and Young Jun's like, yo, man, we told you, you couldn't trust her, blah, blah, blah. You know, now it's time we take care of this. And he's like, it's too late. Yan Min is gone. And he's like, what are you talking about? We're talking about Mai Ling. And then at first you can see it sounds like, oh, fuck, did I fuck up? And then it's like, oh, shit, okay. Because you can see everything going through his head. Mm-hmm. What I'm interpreting him doing is like, oh, shit, did I give that away? It's like, oh, no, well, it doesn't matter. That means she's safe. That's all that matters. And then he's like, oh, shit. Then he realized, now I got to save my sister. And it, like, I mean, what, I'm going to give this to Becca first. Beck, what did you think at this point where Young
I Jun just thought,
gives him the
I choice? Just thought the second time I'm going to save Mai Ling, and Young Jun until now doesn't know that Assam killed Bolo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit, that's right. He still doesn't know that.
Yes, and again, he's going to save Mai Ling and fuck the halfway.
Damn. So Frank, we see it right here. This is basically the halfway, you know, saying make your choice. What are you going to do?
It was in this awesome dude. He fucked up.
It was this moment he fucked up. It was this moment.
Yeah, that was the moment. Up. Or and maybe this point that they fucked up.
Yeah.
They really? You're talking about the most dangerous guy. You're talking about the most dangerous guy in the group. This is where Young Jun, I think, still has a lot of that Sonny Corleone in him, because mm-hmm. he was talking about how Father Jun would call this a window of opportunity. I was calling it window of fucking opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I was looking, I was kind of like, I don't think he would, because Young Jun said it himself. Mai Ling's losing power. Li Yong's gone. He was her main threat on her side. Yeah. And I think back to what Kong Pak said when he was talking to Mai Ling about dealing with the Hop Wei, about how they should just let him bleed out naturally. Yes. And I think Father Jun, if he was in that spot, he would have tried to recruit the Long Z soldiers who were defecting, and then just let Mai Ling continue to get reckless and desperate and lose out instead of risking putting her in a cornered animal position. That's what they were both in. You know, Assam and Mylene were both cornered animals in this situation. And when Assam chose to save his sister, it was almost like, what did you really expect? You know, he crossed the ocean to find her, and he never actually wanted to join the Hopway. He got sold in without even realizing it until it was too late. And yes, they went through a lot together since then, but the original mission wasn't to join the Hopway. So it was it was a bad move by Young Jun. You cornered the most dangerous guy in your group, and you made him go against you when you didn't even have to do that. So,
and then you get then you get this though.
To be like this.
I think you did.
Becca, you were about to say something.
I was about to say that family comes first. I mean, for most of people, and although Assam considers Young Jun and Hong like family, like brothers, like Young Jun says, Young Jun takes that, you know, tyrant way of doing, and like a king when he dislikes something that his friends do, he will kill them. He would cut their heads off. So they are brothers when they are, you know, doing what he expects, when he is like having fun. When he feels threatened or he just, you know, dislikes something, feel disrespected or something, or humiliated, he would cut their heads off. So the loyalty is just one side, you know, or just when convenient to one side. And I forgot what I was going to say besides that.
Oh, it's all right. But we got exactly what we'd expect, this huge, huge, big-ass melee fight between Assam and the Hopway. And, I mean, of course, all the foot soldiers Assam takes out pretty easily. You know, we see him bring out the nunchucks and everything as well, which was an awesome, you know, callback to Bruce Lee. As per usual, as we saw, I think we see them every season, right? The nunchucks.
Yeah, and a few people pointed out the 1-inch punch.
People
pointed that out as well.
Pointed out the
1-inch punch that sent Hong Kong across the room. Right. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Something about it, like, call me naive. I really did not think. Again, naive, okay? Did I really, really think that we were going to see them up against each other? Okay? And the whole, you know, you need to pick a side. And there's going to be a big fight. But it doesn't change the fact. I mean, we knew all of this was possible, okay? And we also know that Young Jun has been feeling a kind of way. And, you know, he's been obviously deep in thought. So now we know that other conversations are happening that Assam didn't know about. And they did take him by surprise. He did not anticipate this. But talk about, you know, having this pop up on you. I did not realize, and I know this is silly, I did not realize how traumatic it would be for me to watch Assam against Young Jun and Hong.
Especially Hong. No, the Hong one was tough.
What?
Yeah.
The Hong one was tough because
that's upsetting.
I wanted to see more. I mean, indecision from Hong, my God, these are both my brothers, right? But he's Hopway for life. I'm going to get to, we got a ton of comments here. Let me just get these real quick here. Ragu says, he was supposed to go to the train station, but Hong saved him and prevented him from meeting Yan Mi at the station. Some other shit happened at the station we're going to get to as well. Young Jun and Han says, JP Images, Young Jun and Han versus Assam was gut wrenching.
Right?
Yeah. Not only was it gut wrenching, I mean, it was a knife punch.
But notice how Assam didn't kill them.
No, I know, but do you notice the knife in his belly right here as well?
Oh,
from his fight with Young June. What else we got here? Sorry.
As I say, Young June would kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, he would have for sure, and he tried. Melanie says, Steph, totally off topic, but I love those freaking glasses.
Thank you.
Ragu says, finally, Assam shows off the one-inch punch to Hong. RCR says, how did they make a fight I didn't want to see and didn't want anyone to win? Every hit, I'm wincing. Yeah, I guess that's kind of, doubling on what Steph said. Jay Unicorn says, I was rewatching season two. Young June said he would have to make a choice one day, the Hopway or his sister, and he chose. You're absolutely right. Unicorn says, Chow sold him out to the Hopway. Heather says, so good. Ragu says, you even got that Fist of Fury sequence with a sequence of punches to Hong, similar to it. Yeah, exactly. In the SS. See how I tried to do it right here, but it's like a little fat guy trying to run? The poison disaster. The Bombshell Blur says, broke my heart to see Assam fighting Young Jun and Hong. I know Mai Ling is his sister, but they're his brothers too. Tough position. Yes. And the way he called her Zhao Jing when he found her, my heart, like, man, it was brutal. The double nunchuck sequence, very similar to the Way of the Dragon and the alleyway fight against the Thug, says Ragu.
Yep, the white tank top too.
Yeah, exactly. thanks for joining.
Hello.
Ka says season finale was amazing, but is anyone else worried about a lot of the loose ends that were tied up and the body count of the main characters? Makes me worried about the fate of season four. Feels like the writers were trying to wrap up that story in case there isn't another season. Obviously hoping and praying that there will be, though. Yeah, I think that was just their way of just encasing it. But I think they also left us with a lot of other cliffhangers. Osama Mai Ling. We're going to talk about Chow in a moment. I mean, also, what's the condition of the Hop Way, the Long Z? There's a new Tong in town we're going to talk about as well. Francisco says, especially Hong. Oh my God, you guys. Jay Unicorn says, Assam was warned not to get attached to the girl. If he was paying attention, he would know his sister killed the elders on her wedding night, no less. And he would know about Leung. Francisco says that was heartbreaking. Ka says, Assam definitely held back, but Young June went all in. Yes. Yeah. It's like Becca was saying. Jay says, that was so painful to see them fight. Young June was also impulsive. Father June would have had foresight. Yeah. But even Father June said when he was young, he was just like Young June and had that impulsive behavior. So, yeah. Heather says, having this show to look forward to and help me with my denial has helped me with my denial that this season is over. Auntie, your nephew supports your podcast and wishes he were old enough to listen.
Oh!
Yeah. I mean, thanks so much. You got a great family there, Steph. All right.
My nephew, the 13-year-old, is taller than me. The 10-year-old is only less than an inch shorter than me.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, wait till he gets to high school. Soon enough.
Go. Can't deal. Oh, my goodness.
Good luck to yourself.
And my niece is watching. Oh, yeah, I think she's up there on season one with my niece, who's 16.
Oh, right on. I'm loving hearing so many people that are all now into this show. It's like filling my heart with pride. I don't know why I went with the Irish accent there.
You make our show funnier.
I picture you doing like a twirl there, like when you said
that. I do. Yeah, it's part of my Irish jig that I do as well. It's all right, lads and lassies. I will not do any more impersonations. So we talked about Leary, of course, going to the Gentleman's Club. Taking over and staking his claim, just like the real Kearney did, becoming, a major player in, not in just, the workers' world, but also in the industrial world now.
Mm-hmm.
I see some people post in the Warrior group, and folks, if you're watching this and you're not in that Warrior group on Facebook, go ask to join that group. That group is phenomenal. That's how we all got started. We were fans that all hooked up through that page. So go there and check it out. But I've been seeing a lot of people saying they're not getting how much love Leary's getting this season. Now, I wouldn't necessarily be saying he's getting love, but I think there is a modicum of respect that Leary has earned from all of us for being true to who he is. Whether if he's a douchebag, he's not going to make no bones about it. If he's a racist prick, he's going to be a racist prick, and he's not going to try to fake that he's not, you know, like Buckley or like Eliza and her husband, you know. You know what you're getting with him, and he's always going to try to do what's right for him and his people. So I get that, but man, what a ride it's been with Leary this season.
He's learning. He learned some moves from Strickland.
Oh, he definitely did. He definitely learned a lot of moves from Strickland, which is dangerous. Go ahead, Becca.
Yeah, the fun fact is Strickland proposed him that I'm not only going to give you some jobs for the Irish. You're going to be in the business. I'm going to expand in the country, and he didn't take it, and now he just did.
He did it. Yeah, it's a testament to these writers, though. You know, like we were talking about how they made us feel bad for Buckley, and we hate that character Buckley, but now you got us feeling bad. It's the same thing with Leary. Like, this writing is just so good. The character development on the show is just so good that you care about these characters. If Leary bites it, if we get more seasons and Leary's to die, that'll be very impactful. Like, that may be the biggest death that we get on the show, even though he is one of the main antagonists of the show as well, and rightfully so. It's just
I wrote a post on the WireMax Geek this week about Strickland, that he is very important on the season to change the game. Mm-hmm. And he's the kind of villain that he has no feelings. The other villains, like Leary, he still have some moral code, some moral values. Mm-hmm. He still feels something, so he can't be completely bad. And Strickland can. And the actor, Adam Rayner, he's so strong-faced. He has such a strong face. He competes equally with Dean Jagger. Remember in the season one that everyone was saying that they were afraid of Leary. He was scary. And when he looks at the camera and you feel like he's looking at you, you feel scary. And Adam Rayner now did that. He was competing equally with Leary, with Dean, I'm sorry. With that kind of... They're all the same. Great actor, great character.
But exactly to your point, Strickland helped expose, areas where Leary was a little naive. He actually believed him that they're going to be partners, and Strickland played him. So, who's the bigger bully? And so there's finally someone that's a bigger bully in a different way, and there were a few times that we saw Leary lose some of his pull over this season. Yeah. And this, but now he learned, and now he's going to dictate the terms of this next deal.
Yeah, he's a scary dude. Let's just put it out that way. From there, it's an all out after Young June and Assam have their fight, and Young June's like, just do it.
And leaving him laying there in the street. Yeah.
And what great cinematography. I mean, oh my God. And I think this every episode, there's shots, when they're in the bedroom and they do the shot of the two main characters, but they're doing it through the canopy of the bed, and or Diane when she's looking at the riot coming towards her. I mean, chef's kiss, as they say. So good. But speaking of miling up there, and she sees everyone coming for her, she heads to her drawer, grabs her gun right away, and of course blows away a hopway or two on her way out. But she takes some beats, you know, like it's not good. She gets stabbed in the leg and she gets chased down. And this whole time as she's getting chased down, you see Assam trying to make it through the city to get to her after being stabbed in the belly. And he keeps dropping to his feet and the music just building up. Yes. And then you see Mai Ling with one of the last hopway guys. And
okay, question. Rebecca.
And he grabs her by the feet and wraps her and whacks her against the wall. I'm like, oh,
I thought
my
that
God.
Was going to be it. I thought she was going to be knocked out.
Oh, yeah. And then he starts drowning her. But then you see her go for the knife. And I'm like, okay. At that point, I knew she was going to be okay until Assam showed up there. And the look on his face, and he's full of blood, and he's just like, oh, no. Like, it was like that dreaded look that none of us ever want to have on our face, you know, seeing someone we love dead. And, of course, the camera pans, and Mai Ling's there, and it looks like she's dead. She's got the knife in her hands. But then as the camera pans, you see there's another hopway guy that's dead there as well. So she took him out. And then, yeah, that's we get that, you know, that awesome final scene with just the two of them, you know, embracing. And I shouldn't even say that, because this is as good as this is. This isn't the final scene. I thought we were done here, and it's not the final scene. I skipped over something as well, because we had a little bit of Yamin and her going on the train, and she was met by Chow. Yep. Right? And Chow's there giving her the money, like, all right, you go do your thing. And he does the right thing, and he tells her, he's like, she's like, I'm supposed to be waiting for a song. He's like, listen, either he's dead or he's dead to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's dead to you now. And I mean that was tough. And she hops on the train and she leaves. We get that really nice shot of her passing Chow on the train.
Okay, but do you notice how there's the figure back there?
Yeah.
No one's really paying attention to it. So second time I watched, he was back there on the
platform. I know. Yeah, I watched. I watched the entire time too. I was like, I couldn't believe it, and then. Yeah, Chow gets stabbed in the back. Then he turns around to face his stabber. And it
How
turns
the fuck
out
are you, Chow?
It's none other than Zing. And Chow is left to bleed out there. And Steph, you said it.
Chow? How the fuck are you, Chow?
My goodness.
And I got to tell you, I would have thought that would have been the end. Would have thought that would have been the end. That's not the end, guys. That wasn't even close to the end.
I just got chills.
The end scene, we see the Long Z pull up on Lee Young. We're like, oh, shit. And you see him turn around. He's like, all right, let's do this. And then they do the unthinkable, and they all drop their trench coats. And we get the most badass new Tong in Chinatown, led by the leader of leaders, Lee Young.
That was pretty classic.
And then going out with the great, the little green bag again, but like the Chinese version, I was just like, I love it. So, so good. So that's it. Okay. Before I get your final thoughts, guys, let's get, there's a shit ton again here. And because there won't be a show next week, I will be away. I'm filming next week. So, and we're probably going to take a couple weeks off anyways, because it's the end of the season. And then we'll come back with a couple shows. But here we go. Austin Judd says, I really hope we get to the point where Assam and the boys reconcile, devastated when they fought. And it won't be easy, but I believe it will happen after some more beef. Yeah, and I think it'll be Hong that he reconciles with first. RCR says, I just love watching Leary put the screws to the elite.
Yes!
right?
Oh my goodness.
Austin says it's scary where Leary's going. He's gonna cause more harm than good before it's all over. Hated him less this season, I guess. But the only thing he had going for him was that there are bigger jerks this season. Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
He's evolved. He's past those jerks now.
Yeah.
Rebecca, do you recognize which one of the the last one that Mai Ling actually killed? They focused on him. You know,
the one was trying to drown him. Her?
Exactly.
Jason Lee.
That's what. Okay, got it.
It's stunt double for Andrew Koji.
Because that was a key scene for him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jay says, thank you all for the show. Sending much love from NYC. Have a good night. P.S. I can watch the young swag walk all day. Big crush, Jay, a.k.a. Jackie. All right, just pause. Ka says, Leary tried to play the game for his people, then realized... Oh, wait, is that your... Whose mic is that? Somebody's mic. Leary tried to play the game for his people and then realized that the game is rigged. I think this made him understand that the Irish aren't viewed as any better than the Chinese by the wealthy American businessmen and politicians. So he decided, fuck it, by the end of the season, to just watch out for his people. And Assam came to that same conclusion too. If only both sides realized how much they were being used by the wealthy, they could have been joined forces and fought for their mutual benefits. And she's got more there somewhere, it says, but I don't see it on here.
But then that wouldn't be history now, would it?
No, but it's funny how that kind of mirrors today as well.
Totally. Yep.
Francisco says, Rebecca, where did you get that warrior shirt from?
I'm sorry. It was Brett's gift. Brett Chan gave it to me.
Can buy it in.
Anywhere.
Loki is like, oh, but, you mean this whole thing?
But actually in Reddit. No, Redbubble. People sell lots of stuff there. You can find something.
But get up and actually turn. Can you show the back side?
Oh, yeah.
So we both got this, thankfully, right? I have mine. So you see the bottom? See the little characters?
Yes, I'm sure all the guys are looking at her bottom.
Sorry. I couldn't see what I was doing. But the little cartoons of this tons of the whole team is very, very cute.
Awesome. where do we go here? Derek says, I want to see all five of you in season four. Frankie would be an awesome guy. Agreed. Zeus could be happy. Frankie could be Yan me too. Stephanie and her snake could hook up with Zing. Matt, advisor to Lee Young.
Oh my gosh.
Matt would be someone that would be partying with Young June. I think they would both be the crazy guys. Austin says, once the Exclusion Act passes, I'm generally interested where Leary goes. He'll have accomplished his goal, but he obviously know all Chinese going away. He may go off the deep end. And she says, Austin says, I was shook when it seemed she had died. Yeah, Mai Ling. RCR did.
Yeah.
Actually, I was like, I wanted Zing back, but not like this. What were you about to say, Frank?
I was going to say the Exclusion Act, it doesn't actually kick the Chinese out who are already there. It just doesn't let additional ones come in as easily. People were still able to come, but they had to show more. They had to jump through a lot more hoops. So it basically made it a lot
only
more difficult.
Only certain laborers, right?
Yeah. But all the people who were there, they didn't get driven out. Well, they did, but that was the local communities doing that. That wasn't a national thing. So it's still going to be there. A lot of the Tone Wars go from like the 1880s into the 1930s, and it goes over onto the East Coast also. So there will be plenty, even if it takes place after the Exclusion Act. So
yeah.
I don't think so basically I'm saying, Austin, don't worry. There will be still a lot of bloodshed that they could film.
Yes.
Austin also says, the end gave me chills. To have gone full circle with Assam and Mai Ling is amazing. How we got there is devastating, though. I'm so upset for June this season. He really been through it. Poor Hong. Yeah, man. And Young June's been through a lot this season, for real. Daniel says that final Assam Mai Ling final scene is the best scene in the entire show. that scene is worth a fourth season by itself. Hell yes, it is.
You saw a different Mai Ling, you know, I mean, different from when she was in the jail cell, you know, it was, and she fought them off, you know, all those pieces that, you know, she's digesting, where are her men, you know, and think about that, you know, that the Longzi heard a whiff, you know, smelled something going on in the air that they were going to go after, and they just bounced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the ones who were there, they got overpowered very quickly. They're like, mm-hmm. It felt like there were only maybe a couple of them there who even tried to stay loyal. So it's, and her husband left her. That's a big wrench in the gut. So it's
sure.
This whole episode was gut wrenching, actually. This whole episode after like the first after Strickland dies, this whole episode was just one gut wrench after another gut wrench.
Yeah, like for real. There wasn't very many wins. Except for Lee. Oh, and I forgot to show one of my favorite pictures, and I do have it on here.
So it was the porch.
The Lee Secret Service was good, but yeah, the porch, and I had it here.
Mosley's got to be back. Nick Corleone, you were great.
Yeah, he was really
good. Love you. I just want my plates. Yes!
The scene between Kieran and Tom was just... It's great, like brothers, man. Like, and then the scene before that with Bill giving the wives the shots and Abigail and Emily. I mean, it was just so awesome. I mean, what a great, great job this show does. Because anyone who knows me that I am a sucker for like family type shows and happy ending shows. And I do love action type shows, but I love anything that's got heart. And this show, for all the action that's in it, it's got so much heart in it as well. And the character, like I talked about the development and how great they are, but it's just, yeah, it's just, it gets me every single episode.
And, you know, Bill's redemption, I was cheering for him since season one. I mean,
mm-hmm.
See him laughing like that, you know, in the job that he wanted, in the position he wanted. With Lee together again.
So good.
And the wives getting along.
or what about so Larry's cute. Comment about, you know, the death of Strickland? He's like, well, it seems like that's something the chief of police should be tackling. So he's like, it's setting it all up, you know. But yeah. I just wasn't expecting to have that many surprises in one episode. Like, they really navigated, zigzagged around. Thank you. Her name is Miss Wheezy. There she is.
Austin says he loves Steph's snake.
There were so many pieces, and I remember at one point thinking, "All right, we just had a two-tong cop Happy Jack crew shootout, and we are only how far into the episode? I mean, the amount of small segments. I'm like, was that only 60 seconds? How many things are you going to cram in here? This is just too much. I mean, so they really covered so much, but I just wasn't expecting to be that surprised. You know, when you have certain things that, you know, you can predict, I didn't. There were too many things that just, I didn't really think they'd go there.
The professor says, Salut, huge fan of this podcast. Thank you guys for what you do. Thank you so much for listening and thanks for the kind words. And thank you for watching on YouTube as well and commenting there. As we say always, if you can, go like and subscribe on YouTube. That's the best way you can help us out and help support the channel, especially with comments and nice comments like that. Doesn't just help this channel. It helps our egos. Austin also says, man, I should have expected it to be him. The second child got stabbed, but I was too busy screaming no that I was caught off guard when it was revealed he was alive. Nobody, no death. He'll be okay. Yeah, I mean... He was still breathing when the cameras stopped, like came off him. So we'll see.
Think of how many times he got stabbed, but notice how he really didn't wait to make sure there was like a final death gurgle, and then he walked away.
Yep, because I think Zing's okay with him if he lives. Like, if Zing wanted him to die, he would have slit his throat or something like that, or you know, he would have stabbed. Like, I believe Zing stabbed him in all the right spots so that Chow could survive painfully. And no, and now you work for me, Chow. That's the way it is.
Interesting moment too. As soon as Chow does something that's not for Chow, this happens to him.
True. I never even thought about that. That's right. He'll never do a selfless thing ever again. Danielle Maddox says the fact that Leary says Strickland is a bad guy, he doesn't realize he's a bad guy, separates him from the likes of Mai Ling and Buckley. Yeah, and they always say though, all the best villains out there in all the best stories all believe they're the hero of their own story. Ka says history would have been so different had there been more unity. Oh, absolutely. I don't know what that means.
Antioch?
Yeah. Antioch? I used to have an Antioch, but then she and my uncle got divorced. I said I laughed a little too hard at Bill's stupid joke. It was so wholesome. Bill's the goat of the show. Crazy to think how far he's come. Love Bill's wife and Lee's girlfriend bonding. A beautiful family. RCR says, I feel like they're setting up Chow to be in a wheelchair or at least a sweet cane in the limp. Francisco says, I was wondering as it went on that too much is being wrapped up and hoping it wasn't going to be the end. They wrapped up a lot of stuff, but like I said, everything they wrapped up, it seemed to lead to more questions. So,
yeah.
Like, where does Assam and Mai Ling go from here? Like, are they going to start their own tongue? What's happening with Atoy now and Nelly? Where are they going? What's their story? Lee and Bill, looks like things are good there. So that looks like it's all wrapped up. Chow, what's going to
happen? Zing!
Zing. Where's Nelly? Penny. You don't think she's going to be? Or Penny, I'm sorry. Penny. You don't think Penny's going to be back? I mean,
Leon walking off to the same soundtrack that Assam walked off to at the end of season one.
Right. The little green.
Also, bag. Zing's going to come after Leon, too. He was the guy who fought Leon before the cops came.
You stop it right now, Frank. You stop it right now with that.
Again, I think Penny should come back as Selena Kyle style.
As Catwoman?
With a Catwoman with a crazy hair and, like, you know.
Penny bad.
I prefer more of a Harley Quinn from her because she's in the crazy institute anyways. Ka said she's referring to Frank's comment about how there will be plenty more content to pull from history even after the Exclusion Act passes. Antioch was a huge riot against the Chinese in Northern California. Oh, awesome. Thank you. Oof, Zeus, that's a great theory. Chow could totally be forced under Zing's thumb again. His arc this season is kind of a revolved about his lack of loyalties and ties. He may seek out Assam for protection. That's from Ka says the Chinese had to rebuild underground tunnels to get around the city of Antioch because the mayor wouldn't allow Chinese people to walk around after sunset. Oh my god, that's crazy. You know, so I live in Canada, as many of you know, and I live in a very white region of Canada, and the city by my city where I've lived in this city, they had on their books about even up till about 10 years ago. I don't know if it still is, but 10 years ago, it still was that black people weren't allowed on the streets after 9:30 PM. And it was nothing that was ever enforced. It was just something that was never, ever taken off the books.
Sunset. Yeah,
good times. Port Colborne, folks. It's a beautiful city.
Downtowns.
It's a beautiful city. Beautiful people. Just bad law.
Sundown towns.
Daniel says, this is why I love and hate Leary. He believes he's right. What do you think Leary will do when Bill is treating the Chinese with respect next season? Yeah, because Lee said if he goes back to the police force, he's not going to be busting Chinese heads. He's not going to be knocking down doors for Buckley this season.
He's starting bad again because now Bill is covering Leary. He's involved in covering the body. And when Lee finds out, they're going to crash again.
Very true.
The whole story again.
All right. I'm trying to get through all these so we can end the show sometime tonight. About to go to bed, says new. Is that, am I pronouncing that correctly?
I'm sorry if I'm not
confronting Dicklin.
But he says, I'm about to go to bed, and I saw this. Overall thoughts, a toy and Nelly confronting Dicklin was everything I hope. Sliced and diced him like a pork chop. That's maybe the comment of the night.
Yeah.
As I go through these comments, I'm going to let all the Tong here. Give me your MVP of this episode and of the season, okay?
What?
So you got time. You got time. You got time. I'm going to go through the comments here because there's still a lot. Austin says, I was thinking all season. How amazing would it be if Buckley's new boo is secretly in cahoots with Penny, maybe an aunt or something helping get revenge? Penny better come back and get her revenge. That's from Austin Judd McCarthy. I agree. Francisco says, speaking of which, what do you think happens with Assam and Mai Ling when they're now that they're pariahs?
Well, it's happened to Assam before, you know, and he's, you know, out of the Tong. And she started from nothing. So I think it'd be more of an adjustment for her. But
will he be a pariah, though? His painting's still on the wall in Chinatown. He's still the hero of Chinatown. Will that transcend Tong's? Will he now be like...
Also, Liang's not necessarily his enemy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
And Liang had the opportunity to take out Mai Ling when last episode, when all of the Tong stepped aside and let him go forward.
Assam has to be the marriage counselor.
Yeah, maybe they reconcile. Yep. I don't know. It's so much. The Bombshell Blurred says, my head is spinning right now with theories. I know we're getting a season 4. Exactly. There's no way we're not getting a season 4. And if we don't, we riot. New says, Atoy been through so much and she held in all that pain. Glad she could let it all out with Nelly. Best part of the entire show to me.
Mm.
I don't think Bill could see a toy. Oh, I don't think Bill could see a toy. It was too far. Yes, Nelly, shoot the police. Well, she shot at them, yeah. But I don't think she was aiming for them. That was just more of a warning shot and trying to get out of there. Cover fire, if you will. Montreal Blur says, what would really be funny is if Archer had a Chinese parent or grandparent, and that's part of the reason she's sticking it to Buckley. I hate her, though. I hate her. Daniel says, that's what I was thinking. Lee has probably the strongest authority in the forces besides Bill now, and Bill treats them as people, not dogs. Ka says, the people will rise up against the Tongs in support of Assam. Yeah, I think that might be it. I think you might be right there. Oh, my God, guys. Maybe Assam will just go ask for guys. Shopkeeper's sons will join. I hope Assam teaches his sister to fight next season. Good plot line. Austin says Li Yang may not be his enemy, but he's sure not going to ever trust Mai Ling again. He'll keep his distance for that reason alone. And Assam and Li Yang friendship isn't off the table, though.
True.
There you go. Second screen. Yeah, watch it again. Keep watching it. Ka says, don't the Tongs realize who the common enemy is? Hong said it best when he told Young Jun that it's great that they can all benefit without anyone getting dice. But then Young Jun said, peace doesn't last. Heather says, glad to see Lee and Bill actually laugh on the porch. We needed that. We needed that as fans.
Yes.
I want Assam to get his rematch and win, though. Not going to lie. And Zong and a toy sword fight would be money. Or Zing, I think you mean.
Yeah.
Oh. And then the last comment here before I take all of your MVPs. And folks, you can send us your MVPs as well, and we'll try to get as many before we leave. But Daniel says, he is Emperor of Chinatown. Mai Ling is the Empress. I don't know that the people feel quite the same about Mai Ling, although she did pretty much take care of the people of Chinatown as well, right? Like, she was pretty benevolent.
Yeah.
And Assam was, you know, their protector. He's their Batman. He's the Batman of Chinatown, if you will. So... All right. Do you guys have your MVP for this episode and the series, the season? Are you ready? All right, Steph, we'll go with you first.
I repeat Atoy so many times. This time, it's Mai Ling. That opening scene and you know, that set the tone for me. But then closing scene where she survived, you know, I mean, she survived solo. So she wins it for me, you know, to have that level of survival, you know, when all of it's stacked up against you and pretty much everybody's jumped ship. You know, doesn't mean I approve of everything she's done, but
right.
That between those two, you know, she's the scrappy survivor. Yep. It was my link for me.
I like that. I like it. And what about your MVP for this season?
I can't. That's too difficult.
You don't have a favorite child?
See, that is so difficult. I mean, okay, get back to me. I can't.
All right, Becca, you ready?
Yeah. The MVP of the episode should be Bill because of his redemption. He's the guy who came from the, you know, the bottom of the, how can I say? I don't know how to say in English, but he was in a very bad place.
Yep.
And he rise up again and get his wife back, get his friend back. And he helped Leary. Not very, playing by the law, but, you know, he protected his friend that Leary told him, no judge will believe that I didn't kill him because of my historical, because his bridge was blown and This is me, Bill. You know, no judge will believe that I didn't kill him. So he protected his friend as well. So for this episode, I pick Bill. And for the season, I always pick Assam. Because he is what he is. I mean, he makes some mistakes. But as you were saying, he is the hero. He is the, you know, the Martin of Chinatown. I mean, no matter how they fight between each other, the tongues and everything, against the higher evil, you know, he is the one who can probably bring everyone together.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Look at the difference in his arms this season.
I know.
You put the work in.
He arrived there before the rest of the cast, only for training for 2 months.
Wow. Frank?
He prepared.
You got your MVPs?
Episode MVP is Assam. He has the most impact. He's basically the one person who put the Hopway on life support now. We don't know who's left, you know, and all those guys who were standing in the dark after he knocked out Young Jun, they were just kind of standing and looking at him. They weren't going to go and try it anymore. And for the season, Chow has a huge series of events this season, you know, and also because of that bottle episode with Lee, because of him sending Yami away with the, you know, to set her up for a new life.
Mm-hmm.
And also because we don't know we don't know what's going to happen with him next year.
I'm a little heartbroken, honestly. Well, I shouldn't say heartbroken. I'd just say gutted. And maybe that's too soon. I didn't mean the pun there, but no pun intended. I feel a little gutted after watching him get gutted. Steph, do you have your MVP for the season?
Yes, and I knew I had certain feelings in, you know, many directions, and I still agree with all of the above. But for this season, it's Young Jun. It really is. Just what we saw from him at so many points between the emotion, the vulnerability, him, you know, trying to find his place still, you know, I'm American, you know, and yeah, it's, yes. There were so many key scenes for me with Young Jun.
All right.
He's my MVP of the season.
And I think that's a hard one to argue with, honestly. For me, this season, my MVP, well, my MVP of this episode, I kind of had to think about it because part of me wanted to say Chow, because like Frank said, this was his first time kind of being selfless. I always love Lee. I like Lee's just such, he's Captain America. He's Superman. He's just, he's the ultimate Boy Scout, even though Rebecca doesn't like what I had. as much as I like Lee, I don't know if I could go with him for, you know, being the person of this episode. For me, I had to go with Assam, just because Assam in this episode is just the ultimate. He's John Wick. You right. Can't stop him. He's got one mission, one thing to accomplish. That's to make sure Yamin was safe. And then after that was to make sure that Mai Ling was safe. Take care of those that he loves first, even if it means having to sever things with other people he loves, you know, that being his Tong. I think Andrew was great this season. But I don't have him as my MVP of the season though. I think Assam was very troubled. I think Assam brought on a lot of trouble for a lot of people this season. And I can't go with him, but my MVP of this season, the person who had the complete story arc that we seen him go from douchebag to one of our favorite people on the show, and that is Kieran Bew as Bill. Bill is just amazing, and maybe the new heart and soul of this show. And I gotta say that I honestly believe we're gonna get a final season I think we're gonna get more seasons for sure.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so folks, thank you so much. A lot of people here. I'll try to get these real quick, and then because we really got to go. This has been a long show. We love you all, but this has been a lot. Assam, we did this one, right? Assam and Leung are not enemies. Austin Judd says, I'll put my money on Assam unites every Tong in all of Chinatown against the racism before the end. Maybe.
The mural's there for a reason.
And if he does, I think he dies in that episode.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, and he becomes a martyr. Austin says, MVP of the episode, definitely Chow. He unwittingly saved Hong and Assam from the raid with his actions and then exposed himself to Yan Mi. But to be fair, though, he unwittingly saved them, but he also knowingly put them all in jeopardy. So just for me, that would just be my counter. Bombshell Blurred says, my MVP is Leung. He didn't have to do anything this episode but chill, and now he gets his own Tong. Hello, thank you guys for the best warrior pod. So glad to have found you. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love seeing you each and every week. I'm so blurred. Daniel says she's Empress by default. They're the only people for one another marriages, and lovers will never work out. Mai Ling will one day be respected simply for being Assam's sister. Sorry, I'm just trying to go to the MVP comments. I'm sorry, folks. Austin says MVP of the season, really impossible though. Everyone was integral at some point in huge ways, and every person grew and learned exponentially. Standout performance this season goes to Jason Tobin though. Jason had some great, you know what, Jason, and let's give some love to Perry Young as well. Perry had me in tears more than once and only had a few episodes this season. Chow will live, says the professor. Leung getting his own Tong is dope. What he and Assam rematch over Mai Ling, you left my sister. That's from New. Great ending to a great season. Hope we get more. Everyone, cast, crew, writers were fantastic. The professor wants to know, is that a real boa? Is that a red tail boa?
Yes, she is.
Pretty larger.
Good job.
That's the professor. Doesn't he know that you're the professor, Frank?
Right there.
What the hell? The Bombshell Blurred says hurts too much to pick a season MVP. That means it's really over, but maybe Bill got the job he deserved and his family back. That was so nice that he got his family back too.
Oh, that was awesome.
Austin says Jason Tobin's performance easily impacted me though. Most this entire season, he's phenomenal. Goosebumps at his father June scenes. Agreed. Yeah. RCR, love you guys. See you on the internet. Love you too, brother. We'll be back in a few weeks. Derek Chim, will you guys do one more season recap? thanks for putting this together. We will do more shows for sure. We won't be back this week, or we're probably going to take a couple weeks off just to kind of recharge our batteries. And then we will be back because we want to talk about the history of the show. And we want to do our part to help promote and get another season going, get that fourth season. Fuck four seasons. Let's go six seasons in a movie. But we'll be happy with a fourth if we can get it.
And we'll still keep working on, you know, guests. I mean, on another note, you know, we...
Once the strike's over.
Exactly. And I mean, some of the extras and, you know, some of the folks that we met even in Cape Town, I think a couple may be able to come on for a show. So when we reconvene, you know, we'll just take it in some other directions, creative directions.
Still gotta hear about Stephanie and Rebecca's trip to Cape Town. So yes. We don't really know much about that yet.
That'll be our next episode. We'll be the recap of the trip. And then, yeah, from there, it'll be a lot of just the history of the show and what certain episodes, what they were based on and real historical facts and people like that.
And just doing a little quick plug to my sister there, mm-hmm. Heather Joy. You know, we had a whole talk about, you know, how she's learning. You know, there are key things that I never knew or things that I forgot a long time ago. And there are pieces that she's learning with this show. And now, I mean, she's explaining things to my niece and nephews, you know, so this is all around such a valuable show for us.
It's a great bonding experiment for all of us, if you will. This has been a lot of fun, guys. And a lot of comments here. Austin says, thanks so much for this community. Can't wait till you guys return. Season 4 is happening. And even more after I'm convinced. Cheers. Thanks for having an amazing time. Until next stream and stay safe, everyone. Thanks so much.
You too, man.
New, I enjoy most of the characters, but MVP always a toy, even if she is underused at times.
Love her so much.
Well said. Folks, I hope you had a great time. To my remaining Tong here. Don't forget, follow us all. You could look for this show. We pull it down almost immediately after we air it, but then it will be posted back in a couple days. Plus, so you can watch us on YouTube at the Hop This Way show, or if you want to listen during your jogs, during your workouts, just during your drive or whenever, you can find the Hop This Way show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon. And of course, if you want to buy some of our gear, you can find that at the Hop This Way show.myshopify.com. You can find me at @RatGZeus on YouTube or at @Zeus_Fleming at Actor IG. Steph is at Asian Hap Hap Hip 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 Hip. The thing you see right under there.
Asian Hop Hip Hop Hippie.
There you go. Easy for you to say. Rebecca is Rebecca Nishi and at Warrior Max Geek and at Warrior Max Fans on IG. And of course, the professor is at Frank and Martial Arts on IG. Folks, we love coming out to see you guys all the time. Yes, happy 44th birthday to Olivia. And yes, very hard to believe that she is only 44. Or that not she's only 44, that she is 44. Because I thought she was much younger. There we go. She's never coming on the show now.
Asian don't raisin.
Asian don't raisin. I know. Asian don't agin and black don't crack. We're a great couple. Folks, thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks for another great season. We will see you in a couple weeks. And the as we do every bye. The snake says bye. We say bye. And as we do every week. This is the last time this season. Let's get some sticky. All right, everybody.